Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Renowned Alaska Native artist Ronald Sonungatook of Homer has died at the age of 87. As KBBI's Kathleen Gustafson reports, Sonungatook was instrumental in development of Alaska arts programs, including at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and his works are preserved in public and private collections worldwide.
Ronald Sonungatook of Homer died Tuesday, January 21st. He was born in 1933 in Kingigan, the village of Wales, in a traditional sod house, and attended Mount Edgecombe School in Sitka. Ron Sonungatook was Inupiat, a sculptor, silversmith, and woodcarver of massive cultural influence as an artist, educator, and mentor. On a Fulbright scholarship in Oslo, Norway, beginning in 1960, he both met his wife Torrid and was offered and accepted a position at University of Alaska Fairbanks in the budding metalsmithing program. In 1965, he joined the faculty as founding director of the UAF Native Arts Center and served as the head of the UAF Art Department from 1977 until his retirement in 1986. He moved to Homer in 1998. For KBBI Homer, I'm Kathleen Gustafson.
About 60 projects are on a long list of maintenance and repair needs the Fairbanks North Star Borough wants to address over the next 10 years. The Comprehensive Capital Improvement Program, or KIP, is still shaping up, and at a meeting last night, the Borough Assembly finished the third phase of a refining process. KUAC's Robin reports.
This is the first year the Fairbanks North Star Borough has used this process, and it's still unfamiliar. Mayor Bryce Ward wanted to address the millions of dollars in maintenance backlog at schools, borough buildings, parks, and pools. The Assembly approved his program last fall, and it's been moving forward in phases.
The KIP process overall, you know, it's new. It's teething, is the way I would put it. It's an upgrade over what we've had.
It's a new process, so we're going to have some bumps in the road.
That was Assembly members Aaron Legiski and Mindy O'Neill. Members of the public and the borough staff nominated projects in October. 99 of them are on the KIP website. The mayor's office narrowed down the list, which the Assembly debated for the last 2 weeks. Assembly member Liz Like encouraged the body to put faith in the new process.
If we keep doing things the same, we'll never do anything different. And I think that's where we're at as a borough again and again.
The plan is really a wish list and will shape capital improvement strategy and policy for the next 10 years. But it will be open for the public to nominate more projects every 2 years. On Thursday, the Assembly was just to approve a list, which now has about 60 projects, and pass it back to the mayor's office for ranking. Member Mindy O'Neill.
Right now, we're just inventorying what we have to work on. And it doesn't mean that we have to come up with how we're going to pay for it.
Repair money will come from the borough's Facilities Maintenance Reserve Fund, or FMR, with nearly $26 million in it. But the maintenance backlog is millions more. FMR money will likely be consumed by the projects that get to the top of the list, prompting some members to think about two lists.
We have had a lot of community input about deferred maintenance versus new projects.
We really need to take a huge priority on the facilities maintenance.
That was Leah Berman-Williams and Jimmy Cash. The Assembly did pass an amendment from Cash to divide the list into two. One for maintenance projects and a separate one for new construction. And that is nearly all that was changed in the 500-line resolution. Some members drilled down on the dollar estimates for each project, but Mayor Ward reminded the Assembly they will vote again on the list after each project is scoped and prioritized.
When it comes to the funding sources to pay for these things, that's really the next phase.
But member Aaron Legiski didn't want to wait. He moved to remove each project he defined as new construction. New buildings at parks, expansion of the Nolwine Library, and replacement animal shelter. But other members, like Berman-Williams, voted to keep the projects on the list.
I don't understand what we're trying to accomplish in eliminating information about these projects.
One big project did come off the list, $12 million for the school district's College and Career Centers of Excellence for Pathways to College and Trade programs leading to high-demand jobs. And there was one small expansion that went on the list. Frank Tomaszewski proposed an increase to the John Weaver Skate Park by $250,000. After 4 hours of debate, the Assembly passed the Capital Improvement Program. The next phase is analysis by the borough's technical team who will score each project and rank them. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
There are just 15 mushers signed up to run the 2020 Yukon Quest International Sled Dog Race, the fewest in the race's history. The Quest is also offering one of its smallest purses in the last decade. But as Kiwi sees Lex Trinan reports, it's hard to pin down the exact reason for the declines.
In the Copper Basin 300 Sled Dog Race in early January, temperatures reportedly dropped to a frigid 67 degrees below zero. That led two mushers, Laura and Louv Trudel, to scratch early on. Unfortunately for the 19-year-old sisters, that was their last chance to qualify for the 1,000-mile Yukon Quest. And while they petitioned to switch to the Yukon Quest 300-mile race, which would have qualified them for the 2021 Quest, their request was denied.
January 3rd is the deadline for a whole lot of different things.
That's Marty Sturry, the executive director for the Alaska side of the Quest. She acknowledged the bad luck for the sisters, as well as for American musher Matt Fahler, who also petitioned to switch from the 1,000 to the 300-mile race, and said the committee was expected to look at the policy again next year.
We always counsel the people and recommend that you look at doing your qualifiers in a different year so that you are prepared and ready to go.
The issue generated plenty of blowback from the mushing community on social media, and that's perhaps partly because the late withdrawals only further shrank an already small field. The race previously had been tied for the lowest number of entrants, 18, of its 36 years. The small field raised questions about the size of this year's purse, which, at $100,000, is the smallest it's been for years and nearly half of what it was during the best years, back in the 2000s. Sturry said that the state of Alaska's economy has made it difficult for the organization to attract sponsors.
Then we also had the big state budget cuts and the fear that there was going to be a huge economic impact to the University of Alaska here. And so for a lot of different reasons, it's been very, very tight.
Sturry says that the hits small businesses have taken around Fairbanks have made it doubly hard, as many mushers are seeking money from the same individuals and businesses that the organization is. And the bottom line is that mushing takes a lot of money. The Quest, she estimates, spends about $27,000 in operating expenses on each musher who competes. And on top of that, the mushers are spending their own money to raise a team. Chase Tingle, who finished his rookie Quest last year, said it took 5 years to grow his kennel to Quest ready.
I don't have an exact number, but a lot of people will say it takes, you know, on average about $1,000 per dog per year. And, that's a lot of money.
Improvements to dog care have also added to the cost in recent years, as better understanding of nutrition has compelled mushers to add pricey supplements to their dogs' diets. And then there's the price of gas for the canine engines.
Cost of a good kibble for your dogs and the meat they need and all that keeps going up.
But both Sturry and others say the questions about cost miss the point about dog mushing. In no world, says Sturry, is dog mushing a good economic investment. It's not why mushers like Tingle get into the sport either. He sacrificed a lot in the last few years, waking up early and laboring into the night to hold down a full-time job to fund his kennel. But he says it's all worth it.
It's a big party. We're all racing for sure, but everybody's there having fun together and making the thing happen. And it's a great celebration of the North.
Still, money never hurts. And lucky for him, the small field comes with a silver lining. The race pays out to the top 15 finishers. That means all he'll have to do is finish. In Fairbanks, I'm Lex Trinan.
And I'm Dan Bross.